kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Going to talk about never be deterred from your calling. Never be deterred from your calling. We're going to look into this today because this is something where we can be at times sidetracked, and the enemy doesn't like us walking the walk that God has for us, that he has predestined, that he has gone before. Of course, the word of God tells it very clear that Jesus has gone before to prepare a place for us. He has also gone before as the first overcomer, so we follow likewise. And of course, the enemy will do all that he can in which to sidetrack us, distract us, or in whatever way that he does, to stop us from walking the way of the Lord and what he has purposed for us. And if we look in John 5 and verse 30, the Gospel of John, chapter 5 and verse 30, he says, I can myself do nothing as I hear. I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father that sent me. And here he's really talking about his life and judgment, which is going to be through him, through the Son. He's revealing that he's going to be the judge. He is going to be the one that will rule and reign on the earth. And he's showing the disciples how he walks. He is showing that he is not deterred from his Father's will. Because he says that I do that which the Father wills in me. So seeking, you know, to do the will of the Father was always the dominating concern throughout his life. He knew nothing else. It's what the Spirit had been training him for, was to walk and do the will of his Father. And if you notice, this is what God is doing with us. The Lord is really honing in now, as he's empowering us so that we want to do the will of God in our lives. And if we're not always wanting or seeking God's will, then we lose our peace. His presence isn't as it should be in our lives. He makes it absolutely clear that this is what he's doing with us, like he was with his Son. And therefore, we're not to be deterred by anything else. You see, whatever the Lord encountered, it never deterred him. And we know that Jerusalem was the culmination of his Father's will. He knew what he was facing. Thank God that the Lord doesn't show us all things, what we may face. We know that we go through much trial and tribulation of which to make it into the heaven. That we know, and he shows us clearly on that. But he clearly showed where the Lord was going, and the Lord was preparing for it, which of course was Calvary. And if we look in Luke 9, chapter 9 and verse 51, Luke 9 and verse 51, he says, Now it came to pass when the time had come for him to be received up, that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. So there came a time in our Lord's walk where he says that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. But he knew when time had come for him. In other words, he said, he knows, he knew. How did he know? Because his Father, by the Spirit, was revealing this to him. And this is what God is going to do with us. And therefore, we're not to let anything deter us in our calling, what he wants to do in and through us, because he's going to communicate, he's going to speak, just like he did with his son. So for us, we have to be completely focused on him, with no other goals or ambitions set in the path. We are not to set plans in this life. And this is why. Because if we do, we are not going to hear the calling of the Father. If we set plans and we are planning our life and our future, we are not going to hear and know when the Lord appears first in the clouds, in which to take us to rapture us. Because he says, for many, he's going to come like a thief. He's training us in the Spirit to walk with him, to be close with him, to hear him. For this purpose, because he's coming for us, but not all will hear him, not all will be ready, because their lives are planned in different directions other than how he's leading. What do we read in the Gospel of John 15, John 15 and verse 16? John 15 and verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another. So, he again is showing here that we didn't choose him. We didn't choose this walk. We didn't decide when it suits us. Not at all. He says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you go forth and bear fruit. That fruit can only come out of relationship with the Lord and walking with him in that unbroken fellowship. So we hand over our life to him because we did not choose him, he chose us. And so if we are aware of that, we are quickened by that, and we see this, then like him, we are led by the Spirit of God. And we've no idea where we are going. We've no idea who we're going to meet. We've no idea what our trials or tribulations are going to be. We've no idea where we're going to live, what job we have, what ministry he wants to give. As we go on, because it's more and more as we go on, it becomes vague. I don't know about you, but all these years since I've walked with the Lord, in many ways it becomes more vague. And why is this? Because he doesn't want me planning my life. He doesn't want me going before him. And so he's going to do this in order so that we learn to walk by the Spirit and to do that which is revealed by our Father, the same as Jesus walked that walk. And you cannot walk with him if your life is planned out. And many of the times he's not in those plans and those decisions that you make, because you're doing it after the flesh. It's what I want. And we know that the self, the I, has to be crucified daily with the cross that we take up and follow the Lord as he deals with that self-life or that selfish life in us that will otherwise not put the kingdom of God first. Many Christians talk about, I'm working and seeking God, praying about putting the kingdom of God first, and then it says all these things will be added unto you. Yes, but unless you are willing to surrender up all your plans and your ideas and your future, everything in this life, you cannot seek first the kingdom of God. It's hindered. And many Christians are puzzled by that one, why it's not working. And that is often the reason. Because Jesus was not going to be deterred by anything. He was being prepared by his Father to face Jerusalem. And he knew what he was going to face, the cross in which to redeem the world. And that's why many times it appears as though he's missed it, or he's come too late in our lives, or when we are believing for something, or sometimes you need to pay a bill and you're trusting the Lord that he's going to provide the finances. Many times it looks as though he's missed it. The deadline is gone. But that's no problem in God's economy. When he manifests that money that you need to pay that bill, that will always be in his perfect time and will. Because he is teaching you to move with him and to listen to him and to do only that which he reveals. And very often it's late, these things, because you know what he's dealing with? Unbelief, fear, anxiety that always manifests. But it never did with Jesus. He just rested and he knew his Father was in control. And this is what he's leading us to. And this is why he's getting us to walk by faith and not by sight. And God is merciful with what I'm saying about all of this, because the Lord very often has a spiritual way of taking us to one side. And let's turn to Luke 18. Luke 18 and verse 31. Luke 18 and verse 31. Then he took the 12 aside and said to them, behold, we are going to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man will be accomplished. For he will be delivered to the Gentiles and will be mocked and insulted and spat upon. And they will scourge him and kill him. And the third day he will rise again. But they understood none of these things. This saying was hidden from them, and they did not know the things which were spoken. I mean, listen to what he's saying about himself that's going to happen. I mean, that's no mere thing. Is he running away from that? Is he shirking his responsibility? Is he trying to change any of this? Not at all. Because he's so one with his Father. And he says these things to the disciples, and they understood none of it. They didn't know. Why? Because it wasn't the right time. And even we can listen to this message, and we may not understand all of it. And do you know why? Because it's not the right time. The seed is being sown into the heart, and it has to die first and then bud and bring forth growth and roots. That's the principle, how it works. And very often we are hearing things that we don't yet understand. That's why so often I take comfort with these meetings that we have, because it's like a type of the Lord taking us to one side. He does this spiritually to those who hunger and thirst for the word, for righteousness, who want to go on with the Lord. There are many Christians who don't want to really go on with the Lord. They're just happy to be saved and to think that they're a Christian. But God is taking a remnant deeper now. He's making sons in these last days who will start to grow and mature in the faith and walk by faith and not by sight and walk the way of the cross. But we haven't yet understood all that is to be known. And that's why he chose you for this very purpose. He chose the disciples. It wasn't them or their idea. That was God's calling on their life. And this is why we say often, you have to be called from the foundation of the world. And the only way you know if you're called is that you will stay with it. You will be faithful. You will endure to the end. That is the sign. It's not about once you're saved, you're always saved. Yes, on God's side, he knows. But on our side of it, we walk daily by faith. And we learn by the Spirit. But we still have much to understand. And that's why he chose you and I, because you are of no value. And all the while you think you are of value to him, you are no good. What does it say in 1 Corinthians? You know this well. In 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 20. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 20. For you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You are. You were purchased by him. You see, it's our poverty that he raises up. And this is his purpose. Because you are of no value, that is why he raises you up. Because you are of poverty, that is spiritually, that is because of what sin has done. He raises you up for that very purpose. And in order to do that, he has to deal with pride in us. And many Christians get offended when God starts to hone in on pride. That we are not of any use or value at all to him, which we thought we were. It was by his grace and mercy he saved us. What does it say in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 25 to 31? You know this, of course, very well. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 25, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. There you are. You've got nothing to boast in. There's nothing that God saw in any of us that influenced him or made him decide, yes, I think I can do something with that person, whatever it is. Not at all. Not at all. He chose to love us first. And they are some of the mysteries of the kingdom that we'll never really fully know. But if we know it, and we know God's life lives in us in his fullness, then we give him all the praise and all the glory. And we realize that we were of no value at all. There was nothing at all in any of us. And here I am, able to be in his presence, in fellowship, to get under the anointing and hear the word of God. What have I done to deserve this? Wish to God there were more Christians who were touched by this. There's too much arrogance and pride in the house of God, and it hinders churches from going on and moving. You see, it's this relationship that we maintain, isn't it? You see, so often our relationship with Almighty God is under attack. And that is why Jesus never deterred his calling for that very purpose, because he knew the devil, the enemy, would try in any way to hinder his oneness, his relationship with his Father. You see, and we have to really watch this one, because this is where you are attacked more than anything. Your attacks come from the enemy to stop you in relationship with him, to walk daily with him. And that's where we get attacked. And he's very subtle and clever how he tries to do it. And many ways he tries to do it is to get us out of the will of God by doing our own thing, by planning our life, our future, and what we want to do. And we've got to learn, brothers and sisters, to yield to him and to always find out what our Father is saying, or whether his approval is in this, or what would you have me say, or go, or whatever, and believe that his presence, the baptism of the Spirit which we have received, the empowerment of the Spirit, will and can work this in our flesh, in our lives. We must believe for that one, because we're not going to do it otherwise. As I spoke on Sunday, none of us can keep the demands of this walk that Jesus presents. It's impossible. Don't even attempt it or try it unless you are baptized, filled with the power of God's Spirit. As he said, I will come back to you. He's come back to recreate his life in us. That we decrease, he increases. And unless that's happening, Unless that is your experience, you need to seek God quickly, because ultimately what God is doing with us, with our walk, he's getting us ready for his appearance in the clouds, because that is the next great event for the church. But we know that not all are going up in the rapture. It is for those who walk in the Spirit, Romans 8, who've yielded their lives over and are allowing the Spirit to lead and guide them. And if that is your desire and that is what you want, yes, there's going to be a fight at times. Yes, God is going to intervene in your planning that you've been up to. He'll come and foul it up and we'll get upset. It didn't happen as planned or whatever it is. And we're all still subject to that. But remember, God is doing something. He is answering your prayers. He's doing what you've asked him to do. You see, so often when we hear the word of God being preached, it's a means of us turning it to God in prayer, because it so often has our name and address on it. And it's for that very purpose, so that you turn to the Lord and you pray, you talk with your Father. That's how we grow with the word of God, when we hear it, because we're told that faith comes by hearing the word, and our faith acts on the word. And you know often what that acting on the word is? Turning to God in prayer and giving it to him. That's a sign you're acting your faith. Now there you are. There's something the Spirit has revealed to you to grow by. Because maybe you're saying, oh, I don't always act my faith as I should. Well, you've got every opportunity when the word's presented to us to take this and talk to your Heavenly Father and offer it in prayer. Is that not an act of faith? Of course it is. And that is how the sons of God will grow by that, you see. But it takes time. I realize that. I know that Rome was not built in a day. And we are a work in progress. And we thank God for his mercy, love and kindness towards us, where many times we've missed it a million miles off. But he has that wonderful way of getting us back on course, online. Because he has determined to do that work through each of us. The Spirit is determined to have the sons of God manifested in these last days, because groaning creation is groaning. As God is shaking now the heavens and the earth, everything is now shaking. And the more he shakes, the more it will groan. And this shaking is to expose eventually this Antichrist that comes forth to deceive. That's what this shaking is about. And God isn't going to stop it. He's going to shake and shake and shake until there is nothing left except his people that stand upon the rock of Jesus Christ. And then he will come back and he will rule and reign on the earth, and he will establish true righteousness. This world is so corrupt. It's defiled. And this is why he says, come out from among them and be separate. Because it's very, very important to learn this. But praise God, he's got it all under control. And as long as you keep your eyes on him and walk with him daily and in fellowship and in communication and we continue listening to the word and allowing that word to do its work in our hearts, then God will be faithful. Because that's what he's called us for. Because we have so much that's opening up to us for the future. And we are so near now, brothers and sisters. We really are. We've only just heard today that a major bank in this country very shortly is going to stop using cash. It's actually my bank. And so here we are, we're hearing these reports. And these are all the clear signs of it getting ready, the world getting ready for the mark of the beast. But we've spoken about that many times. These are the things that Jesus said in Matthew 24, that we were to watch and pray and to listen, you see. And so it's moving rapidly, quickly. And God won't let us be asleep. He won't let us have our heads in the sand, hoping it's going to go away. He's not going to. No, we've got a great, great, great future ahead of us. We really have. And don't let us be deterred in any way or form from this great calling that God has set on our lives. Praise God. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, that you are leading and guiding us by your Spirit. And Father, we know that we're so near now. But Lord, you are always one step ahead. And you have preserved a remnant to yourself who are sealed by the blood of the Lamb, who are your own. Lord, please help us in our weakness. Help us, Lord, to always put you first, the kingdom first. And we know that we will be tested and are tested on this. And help us, Lord, not to be deterred or to be bothered what family or people think, but that we are concerned first and foremost that we are pleasing to you and doing what you will for us. Father, we know that your Holy Spirit, the Blessed Comforter, he will work that within us, and he is doing that for your glory.
Constancy, follow the master.